Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No.
Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. I'm kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
He's drunk and presentations aren't over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the bear.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
You no longer
yeah, salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Schmack dogs.
Hey, what's up? It's The Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Kyle Tosk. The Cubbies are currently in action. They're in Colorado. 3-0 is the score for the right side, if you're a Cubs fan around here, which I know a lot of you are. In that playoff chase, Kyle, how you doing? Unfortunately, you took a loss last night to the Rocks, but a chance to win the series today, afternoon baseball there in Denver.
Yeah, if they can get it today, like I keep saying, I hate playing at Coors Field so much. So if you get out of there with a series win, I'll take it. And every other wild card team lost last night, so the Cubs didn't really lose much. Now, of course, the Brewers keep winning. I mean, they refuse to lose. Their trio in the rotation's given up like one run the last week, but the division may be slipping away. But at the end of the day, if the Cubs can keep themselves in wild card position, that is more than I even expected about 2 months ago. So I'm just enjoying it.
Was it? It's Pete Crow Armstrong. Was that his debut last night?
It was his first start. He came in as a pinch runner on Monday night.
Okay.
And then a defensive.
I saw your tweet about
him.
David Ross. You weren't too happy about him getting called up and then just.
Well,
being a pinch runner,
the David
right?
Ross quote that he had on Chicago radio the other day, like, just ticked me off so much. So that was where my tweet came from, where he said, we're not here to develop players right now. We got a group of guys that got us here. Well, Mike Tauchman's hit like 100 the last month. That's kind of, you know, he's kind of fallen off. I think we can develop players and get the best guys in there, but whatever. He made a couple of incredible catches last night
those.
In center field.
What can he bring to this Cubs team? You maybe answered that question when you talk about, is it Tauchman hitting 100, but Armstrong, I know, is just kind of following around on Twitter and seeing some of what's been written, is a highly hyped prospect for the Cubs. What's the anticipation in terms of what he can bring, and just kind of maybe big picture your temperature on, you know, what that means for the Cubs organization?
Well, I think immediately he can bring some elite defense and center. That's what his calling card is as a prospect. He's an 80 grade defensive center fielder, which is as high as the scale goes. I think just the value, even if he's not an everyday starter, I'm not saying you need to start him every day and he's like automatically, just because of his prospect ranking, qualifies as your, you know, center fielder in game one of a playoff series. I'm just excited to see what he can bring. At the very least, he's going to bring you a really good defensive center field, a really dangerous base runner with some speed. And if the bat comes along here early as he gets going, that'd be an added bonus as well. But I'm just excited to see him because Cubs got him in the Javi Baez trade 2 years ago, and he's just shot up the prospect lists ever since. And now he's like top 10 in all of baseball. So I'm glad. I didn't really expect them to give him a shot here this year with the way that they kind of figured things out and were playing well. But I'm excited to just see what he's gotten, at the very least watch him make a diving play in center every night.
Going into the bottom of the fourth, it's 3-0 Cubs. The bats have been going 9 hits so far, 9 hits leading to 3 runs. Only 1 hit for the Rocks with Jameson Taillon on the hill today. Christopher Morel, he got the golden sombrero last night, unfortunately.
He did,
0 for 4 with 4 Ks. Does have a hit and a run scored today. Nico Hoerner, 3-for-3 so far. Bellinger, did he go deep? Or
no, he had a sack fly and sack then fly, I think okay. A hit.
Morel with a double, Half with the double, Swanson with the double. So those guys making hay there in the meat of that order. So how you feeling about the lineup? Because it's been fairly productive as far as I can tell. Admittedly, this is a guy that has pretty much tried to tune baseball off my radar. Although now that the playoffs are approaching, and I know we're going to talk about it a lot more, I've been a little bit more keen on what's going on, but there was a good solid month or so that I just wanted baseball out of my life.
I understand. Hey, Adam Wainwright got it done.
He 199. Did. He got a win. Yeah. Awesome. And he beat a good team. The Baltimore Orioles have been a super hot team and a division leader there for the AL East. But yeah, 199 with maybe 3 more cracks at it, I think.
It would be cool if, after everything that's happened, if he did end up getting it after all this when it looked like he was done. Even as a Cubs fan, it would be cool if he could find a way to get that 200th. But to answer your original question, lineup has been productive. It was productive for a lot of that stretch where the Cubs got themselves back in position. The last week and a half, it hasn't been at all. They've had some decent offensive performances here at Coors Field. It's pretty hard not to at Coors Field to not score. And even still, they've left so many guys in scoring position. Like even today, 9 hits, 3 runs is not particularly ideal. But they've really cooled off here recently. Like Mike Tauchman, like I said, he's, you know, maybe he was kind of a diamond in the rough that his luster has gone away at this point, and he's not really starting anymore. You got Candelario at the deadline, who the first like 2 weeks that the Cubs traded for him was red hot. Since then, he hasn't been able to hit at all and is now on the injured list. Ian Happ has struggled a little bit. Dansby Swanson's really cooled off. So they have tailed off a little bit here. That's why I'm interested to see if Pete Crow Armstrong can give him a little bit of a spark as a lefty bat. But I still feel pretty good about it. I think you have Bellinger, who's been really consistent. And I just think that it is a pretty deep lineup now. You don't have the situation like you did earlier in the year where you got Trey Mancini trotting out there and Patrick Wisdom's playing time's been cut completely. He gets spot starts like once a week now. You have a lineup that you kind of trust. And I think, honestly, getting a little cold spell out here in early September may be for the best, because I think there's a decent chance that some guys start heating up right at the perfect time in a couple weeks.
It's not much to like about the Rockies, but I will say the jerseys they're wearing right now are pretty cool.
Those are kind of cool, aren't they? Oh, there's Chris Bryant at the plate. He homered last night to give the Rockies the lead.
What is that, like the third home run he's hit at Coors in 2 seasons?
It's his 9th of the year, which is...
Has he played a full season?
No.
Yeah, of course not.
He missed... I think he hurt his hand and missed a couple months or something, but of course he had to hit a go-ahead shot off. I mean, I knew that was going to happen.
If we were to revisit the Cubs that left, the pillar pieces of that World Series championship team, how would you order in terms of the most missed all the way down to the bottom? I'm imagining Javi is probably at the bottom, right? Or is it Bryant?
Chris Bryant might be at the bottom. Although, you say that if the Cubs kept him that he would have the same injury problems?
It's hard to say. It's like Cardinals fans convincing themselves that Pujols didn't go to LA, that he wouldn't have gotten hurt, wouldn't have fallen off. He would have been, you know, passing Barry Bonds for the most home runs of all time.
I think Javi's probably the least missed, honestly, especially since you went out and now you got a guy in Dansby Swanson for the next 7 years who has had a really good season and does everything Baez does defensively and has been a lot more consistent with the bat than Javi has since he left Chicago. I still think, I know they had that weird issue with him this year, Anthony Rizzo, who had the concussion that went undiagnosed for 2 months and is now out for the year. He's the most missed guy, though, for me. I mean, he was the team captain of that. I mean, he was the heart and soul, a Cub for life type of guy that I just thought that I didn't think I'd have to see him in a different uniform. And the Cubs have had so many first base issues this year until they finally had Tauchman come out of the blue and play well so they could move Bellinger to first. That's the only way they've solved that problem. So Rizzo's at the top of the list in terms of the guy I miss the most. Everyone else, I don't know if there's one other guy that I want. But like Kyle Schwarber, he didn't get traded. He got designated assignment.
Yes.
I would be totally fine having his 44 homers back. I know he hits like 190, but he walks all the time and hits 45 homers. Wouldn't mind that at DH, but Rizzo's the only guy for me that I truly would want back. If you told me right now you can have this guy back for the next couple of years, it'd probably be Rizzo. And even him with this whole ordeal in New York, I'd be reluctant about it. But
yeah, that's a weird thing. And it's a guy that last year hit 30-plus home runs.
Last year he had a really good year. And he started the year so good this year until that whole –
then went like 2 months without a home run, and then it's like, oh, he had a concussion.
Yeah, I don't know what that – and then there was like a story that came out of that that said like David Ross, the Cubs manager, like had to call him and tell him like, dude, something's wrong with you or something. And the Yankees did nothing about it, and then finally Rizzo went to them. It just so weird. And now he's like out for the season based on a head injury that happened in May.
And a guy we didn't mention in that mix, Wilson Contreras, one that you probably don't miss too much.
Yeah, well, I mean, the bat is what it's always been.
It's starting to go in the last month or so.
I think Yan Gomes has had a heck of a year at catcher for the Cubs this year, so I'm not particularly missing him right now, but his bat's always of use, and I knew that it would eventually come around in St. Louis. Obviously, there's some questions about his defensive ability.
Yeah, apparently they're still playing baseball in St. Louis, but actually in Baltimore. And again, we're off early today, 4:40 for the season, the series finale there. I would be okay if it was the season finale, but Waino's got three more starts to make. I should talk a little bit more about that, I guess. I haven't been that eager to go look ahead in the schedule of who his next couple of starts might be against, but he had lost, as I mentioned yesterday, 10 of his previous 11 starts, took the L in pretty much all of those. I think it was 7 consecutive he took the L in, but it did feel – I felt good for him to be able to get the win last night and hope he does get 200 because that's a milestone victory. And then I saw something today, and look, it's easy for me to sit here and kind of roll my eyes and whatnot. It's the farewell tour, and look, it's happened for some other really, really good players through the years. They get, you know, they come out maybe before the game, their last trip to a certain place, and they accept a gift or whatnot. But Waino with his singing, I'm not saying he's a bad singer. Like, he sang the anthem, I think, for the opening day at Busch Stadium, which is fine. But I saw Katie Wu of The Athletic post the Cardinals are promoting after the final game against the Reds at home that they're going to do a fireworks show, and Waino's going to sing 3 new release songs. They're going to be on his CD. Come on, man.
What?
Come on, man. Yeah. Yes, they're doing a Waino concert, essentially, the last game of the year at Busch Stadium as a draw to come out and pay for tickets for the Cardinals.
Wow. Well, I will say he did a nice job when he sang the anthem.
I mean, yeah,
that
he's
one
not
time.
Bad. I'm just over it.
Yeah, no, it's just it's after the final game of the season.
Yes, I believe. Let me pull it up. But that was my understanding. They play the Reds in St. Louis, and after the game, I hope he's not starting the game because he could give up like 8 earned, and then he's supposed to go out there and sing, and people are gonna cheer for him. Look, there are a ton of Waino diehards that even through all this, the 8-plus ERA, still love Waino as much as they ever did. And look, I appreciate him for the entirety of his career. It's just been hard to watch him go out there and fizzle like that. And look, it happens for some really, really good players. He's not Hall of Fame caliber. He's probably just in that tier below. He didn't have the Cy Youngs or anything like that. But he's been a workhorse in that rotation. Not many get to go out like Albert Pujols did, like looking like a player that's somehow found the fountain of youth in the final like half of their season and really are hitting like they did in their prime. For Waino, it's been a wheels fall off thing, and the Cardinals have been non-competitive. It's just been hard to watch, but I won't be looking to attend that game, and I don't know. It's something that's like, all right, man, just appreciate you. It hasn't worked out. Hat tip and standing ovation deserve, but the concert thing, I don't know. That's not really something I would look for.
That is a little odd. Interesting. So is he like creating his own music and releasing an album? Is that basically what it is?
Here it is. Katie Wu tweeted this out earlier today. Says the Cardinals are advertising a 3-song performance by Adam Wainwright in the final homestand of his career. Tickets for the game on September 30th will include Waino's special post-game concert and fireworks. Fans are invited to stay after the game for a special musical performance by Waino, who will be joined by his opening day accompaniment. I don't know what that means. As he debuts 3 new original songs from his upcoming album. He's actually releasing an album. And then followed by in-stadium fireworks show. You know, I much more appreciated late September, early October baseball when the Cardinals were like going to cleanse the division.
Yeah.
Instead of Waino's going to sing 3 songs. Sorry, Waino. I apologize.
I will say I did pull up the schedule just for 200 watch for you. Looks like it's going to be at home against the Brewers next week will be his next start. That's an offense you could keep down. Now you're going to score on the Brewers? I don't know about that.
Don't give up more than 2 earned.
It's probably going to line up at San Diego next weekend, and then he will probably pitch sometime in that final homestand against Cincinnati at home.
Could be very meaningful baseball for the Cincinnati Reds. I did want to go through the wild card standings before we catch this break, but I believe the Brewers have given up the fewest runs, definitely in NL, if not the fewest runs in baseball. I'm trying to do this on the fly. It looks like the Mariners have given up 4 less runs. So if you consider the AL, it's maybe the second fewest in all of baseball. Well, Tampa's there as well. So like top 5 in baseball in terms of pitching and keeping lineups down. But like you said, their big 3 of Burns, Woodruff, and Peralta. Peralta's had a heck of a second half, overall in his entire season.
I mean, really, all 3 of them have had a heck of a second half. Woodruff's looked really sharp since he came off the IL. I think he struggled in his first couple outings, and recently he's been great. Corbin Burns he had a slow start to the year, has pitched great, and Peralta's been dominant. Their pitching staff is terrifying. Like, I was telling Lon last week, he was kind of posing the question, like, it's probably too early to ask this, but, like, what team do you not want to see in, like, a 3-game wild card setting in the NL? And I said the Brewers because I get that their offense isn't all that, but you're telling me a 3-game series where you're lined up against Corbin Burns, Brandon Woodruff, Freddie Peralta, and their bullpen, I'd be terrified of that. I'd have no confidence going into that series.
Did they mess up by dishing Hader? Has Hader gotten paid since being traded? Because
he's going to get paid this offseason.
Okay. I don't know what they got back in that.
I don't think they messed up. The reason I say that is because their bullpen
is one of the best
bullpens in baseball, and they found like 3 other guys, like Pyomps and whoever else is out there that have like a 190 ERA. Like, yeah, if you add Hader, it's maybe the best pitching staff I've ever seen.
I just think back to I think it was 2 years ago where they were a hot pick going into the playoffs. They played the Braves in a first-round series. And that was, I think it went to game 5 it was the final game, and Burns wanted to throw again, or maybe he didn't. They were kind of like, would he pitch on short rest or not? He didn't. And he got a lot of heat for that. So did the Brewers for not throwing him out there. And then after that, they were disappointing. Last season traded Hader. And we've seen in the postseason, like if you have some bona fide, like shutdown starting pitchers and then an elite bullpen, all you got to do is like get that game to the 7th, and then it's done.
Absolutely.
Because you can throw out 3 lights out relievers, and if you had Devin Williams still as your setup man, and then Hader as a closer, like that's crazy to deal with. But obviously, they're still shutting people down even without Josh Hader.
Yeah, they are, and their bullpen is still one of the best in the league. This Hader trade's interesting because looks like they got Taylor Rogers, who's a reliever who's not on the team anymore. Dinelson Lamet.
Oh, yeah, I remember him. And they, like, DFA'd him
immediately. They DFA'd him that year. Robert Gasser, pitching prospect, who's still in their organization, one of their top pitching prospects. And then Esteury Ruiz, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, who they then used to get involved in the 3-team trade for Sean Murphy this offseason, which brought them back William Contreras and Joel Pyomps, who's been lights out in the bullpen. So
they've made it work. They've made it
work.
They
found it. It's just the pitching staff is is so terrifying to me. Like that lineup, it's not very good at all. Now they actually did go out and get a couple of bats at the deadline. Not no game changers, but like Carlos Santana and Mark Canha, if that's how you say that. They've been solid for them. They've given their lineup a little bit of a boost, but like there's nobody in that lineup that scares you other than Christian Yelich at the top. But all they gotta do is score three runs, put Corbin Burns, Woodruff, Peralta out there to go 6-7-1 two-run innings and throw it over that bullpen, and you're done.
Yeah, 100%. If you want to weigh in, you can. 217-359-2255 on the U of I or Line Link text line. 217 Cubby fan says, Javi was beloved early but then became super polarizing, but he was fun. Benny asks, will we be at Pia's this Friday? No, we won't. We'll be there the following Friday prior to the FAU game. So look for us not this week but the following week to return to Pia's out on West Springfield Avenue. We've had a bunch of fun prior to the opener against Toledo, and we will again next week. I mentioned bringing up the playoff stand or the playoff picture, the wild card. Let's do that after this break, and then we'll get you that. The current outlook for the NL wild card chase and just the overall playoff picture. We can do that next. This is The Drive.
Welcome to Sarah Champagne, where your dream car awaits. With an exquisite selection of top-tier vehicles, impeccable service, and unbeatable prices, they are your ultimate destination for automotive excellence. Experience luxury, performance, and style like never before. Visit today and drive home in the vehicle you've always desired. Sarah Champagne, Honda, BMW, Subaru, GMC, and Buick. Your journey towards automotive perfection starts here. Visit them at Sarah, S-E-R-R-A, Champagne.com.
Make plans to pop into Pia's at 1609 West Springfield Avenue for happy hour from 3 to 6, Monday through Friday with 16-ounce drafts, just $3.25, well drinks $4, plus wine and seltzers for $4.50, and pitchers are $9. Taco Tuesdays get you big tacos for $2.50. $2 off on tequila shots and margaritas are $5. Get Mexican beers for $4 each. Go south of the border on Tuesdays at Pia's. Then there's Whiskey Wednesdays and karaoke a few times a month on Fridays with $4 fireball shots. Uh-oh. Football fans, plan to party at Pia's before, after, and during games as you get on the watch parties with great prizes and giveaways during the fourth quarter on special game days. Get five bottles in the Coors Light bucket for $16.75 or enjoy the $8.95 pitcher special on Illini game days. For the Bears, $4 Miller Lite drafts in the 22-ounce keeper mugs and Simply Spiked lemonade. Pia's is the place to party any day of the week.
When Ross went out, I always told him, be careful. And that was the last time I got to see him.
Because someone didn't slow down and move over. Ross had on a bright orange shirt with reflective stripes the night he was killed.
He always had that smile. He just lit up the room when he came in.
Slow down and move over. When you see flashing lights, everybody is somebody somebody.
When you see lights flashing, use caution passing. Let's all go home safe tonight.
Join the Champaign Parks Foundation for a fun evening of food, socializing, and entertainment at the iHotel and Conference Center with Champaign Park District's Youth Scholarship Fund to benefit from the new Ties and Tennies Gala. It's coming up on Thursday, September 14th, and you'll enjoy dueling pianos, a plated dinner, complimentary wine and beer, live and silent auction, and featured speaker Team USA Paralympian sitting volleyball player Nicole Millage. Learn more details. Visit champagneparks.org.
So when was the last time you saw a best deal guarantee?
You mean a promise that actually held up?
Right.
That some unknown online entity didn't want you to log in and download a code and then re-verify as you join some club?
Drives you nuts, I know.
And then once you purchase that set of steak knives?
Well, Dick Van Dyke Appliance World is a lot simpler. You find a verified great deal and they beat it. Just show them the deal you saw. A newspaper clipping or the online cart price will do, and then you're good.
At Dick Van Dyke Appliance World, it's one of those instances where you see a best deal guarantee and
you get the best deal.
This is Dennis Reakin, chairman of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. Our exclusive 10-year protection plan comes free with most appliance purchases. Whether it's a GE, Whirlpool, Frigidaire, Bosch, or any of our 30 brands, I guarantee we will beat any competitor's deal. Wow!
Dick Van Dyke Appliance.
Kelsey Furniture in downtown Tuscola sells Tempur-Pedic beds. What's it like?
I'm going to tell you right now, Stevie, that thing is the best thing I've ever slept on in my life. My wife and I both have said we've never had better night's sleep. And the people at Kelsey's were fantastic. Brian is the guy that helped us. You know, as much as I did my research, he has a world of knowledge about beds themselves. Oh, man, it's like sleeping on a cloud, man.
Kelsey Furniture, downtown Tuscola.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday mornings 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Back on the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Cubbies 3-1, bottom five. Rockies have one on, 3-2 count. No, I'm not going to do play-by-play for you, but Tyone is...
just gave up a game-tying homer. Yeah. I knew that was coming. That's been the story of his season.
Ouch. Nolan Jones takes one to deep left center. 3-3. Bottom five.
Offense needs to get going. Got enough hits, not enough runs.
Yep.
452 was the distance on that one. That's a Coors bomb for you.
Yep. That's right down the middle. Okay, moving on. Let's look at the playoff picture, the wild card chase. Very well could be a very intense one, especially in the NL down the stretch here. You mentioned in the first segment, pretty much all the other wild card teams lost yesterday. I know that the Reds not play.
Did they not play?
I'm not sure.
I'm not positive.
I know that it shows that they've won their last two, but maybe they didn't play yesterday. I'm not sure. But you do have the Phillies who lost last night, a close one to the Braves in extra innings. You have them 3.5 game in terms of being the above the cut line. You got the Cubs 2 games above the cut line. The D-backs still in that final spot as of right now. Big series between the D-backs and the Cubbies in Arizona coming up this weekend. The Reds are 1 game back of the D-backs. Then you have Miami and San Francisco 1.5 games back. And the way it sets up, you're talking about the Brewers facing somebody in terms of a 3-game set. Like, I would be fascinated by a Milwaukee-Philly wild card series because the bats in Philadelphia have really heated up. Trey Turner had a very slow start. He's been on fire of late. I think I saw he homered in the bottom of the ninth last night to send it to extras. I think he's hit like maybe 8 home runs in the last 11 games or something absurd like that. Bryce Harper's starting to hit bombs again. There was a long stretch where he comes off of his injury and the power wasn't there, but now it's really emerged for them. That's still a very dangerous lineup to help lead them to the World Series last year. I don't know if they had the pitching. I mean, that was a question about them last season as well, but it got them to the World Series.
Zach Wheeler is pitching really well. He's been outstanding this year. Now, Aaron Nola has not looked like himself, and I don't know if they have much beyond that, but could line up with anybody in a game one.
For sure. For sure. So as you look at it right now, you have the Braves against the D-backs, the Dodgers against the Cubs, and the Phillies against the Brewers in terms of first-round matchups.
It would be – so I think the top two
seeds get a
bye.
What am I talking about?
So the Brewers would be taking on the Diamondbacks in Milwaukee, and the Cubs would head to Philadelphia.
This is what's wrong. The baseball's changed the postseason format way too many times for me now that I don't even know how they do it.
Yeah, so in order to get that Milwaukee-Philly matchup, the Cubs would probably have to go sneak up there and win the NL Central, go on a run here.
Would you be okay with that?
I would be. I would very much be. And I feel like if there's a goal for the Cubs, truly, they're 4 back of the Brewers now. The Brewers are pitching so well. I just don't see it happening in the division. If the Cubs could pass Philadelphia for that top wild card spot and get 3 home games at Wrigley Field, because that top wild card spot gets a home 3-game series against that number
seed. That's right.
That's the goal I think they need to shoot for. You're not to say that they shouldn't try to win every game and you know, sweep the Brewers that last series of the year and win the division. Obviously, you want to do that. If we're thinking realistically here, I think the big biggest goal for the Cubs should be getting that top wild card seed. They're only a game and a half back. I know the Phillies have a couple series against Atlanta here down the stretch, so there's some losable games for them. If they could find a way to get a home set at Wrigley as the Rockies just took the lead, Tyone's giving up batting practice now. This is just insane. But
5-3 Rocks.
My hopes of getting that top wild card spot are taking a hit as I'm speaking. but that would be the goal that I'd shoot for.
If they were to accomplish that, of the teams in the mix for that last spot in the wild card, D-backs, Reds, Miami, and San Francisco, who would you most want to see and who would you least want to see?
I would most want to see the Marlins. I don't think they're all that good. Their lineup doesn't scare me much at all. I don't think they have one pitcher you look at and say, I'm terrified of him. I think they have some solid younger pieces in that rotation.
They got a minus 60 run differential.
But, yeah, they don't really scare me at all. I also really, especially the Cubs just swept them at Wrigley Field, like the Giants – I know Logan Webb is a nice piece there at the top of the rotation, but they have an awful lineup that hasn't hit for 2 months.
500.
And they have like two starters that even start. They use an opener in like 50% of their games. So I wouldn't be scared of either of those two teams. D-backs and Reds do scare me. Those are the two most likely options there. I think both those teams can make some noise because I think they got really intriguing lineups. And at least the Reds pitching is a big question, but like Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly for the D-backs can line up with almost anyone too. So, yeah, it's tough, but I do hope that Miami or San Francisco hops up there because those teams just don't terrify me whatsoever.
If I were to give you Braves against the field in the NL, which one would you pick? I think I'd pick the Braves. I think they're that good, but you never know.
I think, it's tough. Like, if you're giving me the field, I feel like baseball's so random.
Yeah, that's true.
I think the Dodgers can match up pretty well with the Braves. Now, they have some pitching injury issues right now, which is going to hamper them. I would feel pretty good that the Dodgers would have a chance in a 7-game series against them. And then you're also giving me, like, it's baseball. The Phillies beat the Braves last year, came out of nowhere. The Brewers, if the Brewers keep pitching this well, I mean, they could just shut teams down all through the NL playoff race. Maybe the Cubs will get red hot again. Like, I would almost go with the field there. I just feel like baseball's too random to ride with the Braves, especially, like, their rotation too.
It's
like
not
their
daunting,
lineup.
No.
Their lineup is phenomenal. Yeah. Like they can
Matt
outscore
Olson, what
anybody.
He's doing right now is
it
unbelievable.
It is the scariest lineup. But like you're not looking at you put them up against the Dodgers, a healthy Dodgers staff and a Brewers staff. Like they don't have the pitching advantage. And I just feel like pitching wins in the playoffs. But I think the Braves are the clear favorite. I would just be inclined to take my chances with baseball being baseball with the field there.
It's a pretty good point. Top three for the Braves: Max Fried, Charlie Morton.
Yeah.
Who else do they got?
No, like Bryce Elder has fallen off a cliff. Yeah. We're missing somebody here. Oh, Strider, of course.
Oh, of course. Yeah, my bad.
Although he hasn't – his ERA is up like near 4. I know he strikes everybody out, but yeah.
How did I forget the best arm in the rotation?
I know. I knew when you asked, I'm like, someone obvious is in my head, and I'm going to bring up Bryce Elder as my first name.
I'm the one that missed Strider. Let's go to the AL real quick. The Orioles are the top team in the American League. No big deal. Wayne, I just beat them. But Baltimore, 91-53.
I did not realize they've been that good. 91-53 for Baltimore. That's a fun team.
I'd have to look up what their second half looks like because the Rays had a huge, through May, they were probably up double digits on everybody in the AL East, if I'm remembering correctly, back when I paid really, really close attention to baseball. But, what they've done really probably all-star break post, and they've had a really, really good year throughout, but they've probably been just absolutely ridiculous. And even as you look here, like games against teams above 500, they're 53-39. Like, they're beating really, really good teams as well. They're not just loading up. And it's a really good division as well. So Houston right now leading the West, although that's a tight race. Then you've got Minnesota Twins, 76-70, although they are above 500. Not going to have – has there ever been one of those? Probably not because they play each other.
A below 500 division winner? Yeah. I'll see if I can find that.
I know we saw that in the NFL one year, but probably never, especially in terms of the way the schedule looks or set up prior to the reshuffling where you play everybody now. But back when, like, every team within a division played each other like 17 times or whatever it was, you probably wouldn't ever mathematically have that happen. Wildcard teams, you have the Rays, 90-57. They're 9 games up on the cut line. You got the Rangers, a half game up on both the Mariners and the Blue Jays. So that's going to be a really fascinating race down the stretch here the last 3 weeks. On the outside and close to being eliminated, you've got the Red Sox, who are 7 games out of the cut line. Same with the Yankees, 7 games out of the cut line. Both those teams, or either one of them, would have to get really, really hot. I know that the Yankees have actually started to pick it up a little bit, but
it's a little too late for that.
Probably a little late, yeah.
Yeah, AL's going to be interesting. I don't know how much I trust the Orioles to go out and win a pennant. Pitching staff is,
I don't know if they – yeah, that's another thing I've always come back to with them is I really like their lineup, but is their pitching good enough?
I always back pitching in the playoffs. Now, last year that probably wasn't as smart because you got a team like the Phillies winning the NL with a suspect pitching staff, and they just slugged their way to it. But like, any time we enter the playoffs, I always side with the pitching side. Maybe like there has to be some context there. Like, am I going to pick the Brewers to win the World Series because they got the best pitching staff? Well, they also have one of the worst lineups. Mm-hmm. So you got to have obviously got to have a balance there. But between two close teams, give me the starting pitching in the postseason to win out.
If you look at runs given up in the AL, the top teams would be the Mariners, the Rays, and the Blue Jays as far as pitching goes. Now, the Rays don't have
least amount of runs given up.
Yes, correct. McClanahan's gone for the Rays, so that has been a big hit to their rotation. So we'll see. Not to say that they don't have enough there. I mean, Taj Bradley's had a pretty good year as a rookie, and overall, it's still a really, really good team. Texas is one that intrigues me a lot, although they had the AL West not locked up by any means, but they were in the pole position. They were in the top spot for a long time until the Astros ultimately caught them, but it's still a chase down the stretch. I just like that lineup. That lineup's really loaded. They're going to have Scherzer in the playoffs. He's going to be tough to beat, but speaking of guys tough to beat, and in that old man range, I mean, Verlander has been really, really good.
Yep.
Since coming over to Houston in that trade.
I figured that was going to be the case with him. Put him back in Houston. I mean, he was in a different gear when he was there. That's with him and Valdez there in that Houston rotation. Never count them out. They got.
I just don't want to see them again.
I know. I don't either. I'm not. I'm just talking about what I think's gonna happen.
No, I
do not want to see the Astros. Anyone but the Astros. Like in Orioles, Astros, ALCS. I will be at like a diehard Orioles fan in that series because I actually love watching the Orioles, and I am sick of the Astros. And I still, many people have moved on, but I'm still not gonna forget the scandal of Houston.
Oh yeah.
I can't. I'll always have a little bit of hatred towards them for that. So, yeah, anyone but them. Like, I don't know about the Rays have kind of just quietly been there all year long. Like, they were the big hot story early on, and they've just chugged along, have 90 wins. They don't have the star power, but they just have such a well-rounded roster. Like, I could see them making a run.
Can't write them off for sure.
Texas has fallen off.
They have, yeah. They have. What's up with them? Just not enough pitching?
Yeah.
Or is their lineup cooled off that much?
I feel like it's probably
Seager's
a mixture
had a great
of
year,
both.
Right?
Yeah, Seager's been great. Probably a mixture of both. I haven't paid a close attention to it. I just know they had like a 9-game losing streak a couple weeks ago.
I know Seattle's been hot the last few months. They're a fun
team. They can
pitch. We've kind of been waiting to see if they would take that next step. But didn't they get lined up with, was it Houston in last year's postseason and like struggled to even score a run?
Yep.
Yeah, but Julio Rodriguez, really fun. They got, and then Castillo, Logan Gilbert, George Kirby. Like they've got pitching, and Kyle obviously has been pointing out how important that is in a playoff series. Lindy on the U of I Atlanta Link text line, it'll be Braves, Astros in 6.
It's probably a safe, that's probably your safe call there. I could absolutely see that happening. By the way, the worst division winner in MLB history was the 2005 San Diego Padres, 82-80. So they were over 500, just barely, but that's the worst division winner record-wise.
Wow, 82-80. Imagining Jake Peavy was on that team.
Most likely, yeah,
I would think so. Hit us up on the U of I Atlanta League text line, 217-359-2255. We are, to mention again, off early for Cardinals baseball, 4:40. The Cardinals post or pregame will kick in. We are going to talk more. We're going to talk some football. We're going to pivot and discuss Atlanta football coming up against Penn State. You know what stinks is if Illinois would have beaten Kansas or even like lost a close game to Kansas – and looked more impressive in week one against Toledo, we'd probably lead every show off of this week talking about Illinois and Penn State, but we're not because, admittedly, it's going to be a tough game to even stay competitive in just based on the way Illinois played so far.
Yeah, no question. It's a tough matchup. I still think that it's – I don't think that a Brett Bielema team coming off the way that they played last week is going to come back home and lose by 35 against Penn State. As good as Penn State is, I think there's going to be a little extra juice and some anger that the team that this team's going to play with on Saturday. At the end of the day, Penn State is really good at pretty much every spot on the field. I mean, a dynamic running back tandem, a quarterback in Drew Aller, who's looked fantastic, great offensive line. We went through the defensive positional rankings, Phil Steele's rankings. They're top three in the country in, like, every spot. Linebacker, they got NFL first-round projected picks, an edge rusher, inside linebacker, and a corner. It's a really good team. Illinois probably got to play their absolute best game, get a couple things to go their way, a la Wisconsin 2019 to pull this one off. But I do think they're going to at least compete, and I don't think they're going to get absolutely blown out at home coming off that loss. I think there's going to be some fire, and I think the defense will play better.
That's well said. I do want to get feelings from those out on the U of I Atlanta League text line. Just at this point, midweek, how are you feeling about Illinois and Penn State? Number 7, Nittany Lions coming to town on Saturday, 11 a.m. kickoff. We're going to talk more about that. We're going to hear from Barry Loney Jr., Aaron Henry, who met with the media earlier in the week, a couple of clips, and we'll react to kind of what they said. Aaron Henry taking a lot of responsibility for the struggles on defense. Barry Loney discussing trying to find that identity and getting things going offensively. Of course, improved offensive line play is going to have to be a big factor in that as well. We will return talking Illini football. Stick with us. This is The Drive.
Hey folks, fall is coming, and so are great deals on the world's fastest mower, Dixie Chopper, at Champaign-Urbana's only dealer, Dedicated Diesel, at 1313 Triumph Drive in Urbana. They still have some 23 and a select few 22 residential and commercial models at liquidation prices too low to advertise. Whether you're mowing your yard at home or 200 yards commercially, you'll get the best warranty in the business with 3-year bumper-to-bumper unlimited hours or 5-year bumper-to-bumper up to 600 hours that includes the engine, deck, and spindle hub. Go see Andy Bowman at Dedicated Diesel in Urbana for warranty details and best pricing on the world's fastest mower. He's clearing out inventory to make way for the new 24s, and no reasonable offer will be refused. Dedicated Diesel, 1313 Triumph Drive in Urbana, that's just off Route 45, 217-328-0562.
Allow us to offer you a welcoming invitation to our MCC family get-together on Sunday, September 24th. Come and join our Muhammad Christian Church as we will celebrate our weekly worship service outside at 10 a.m. A tent canopy to protect from the weather will be in place, and a welcoming team will greet you and your family and assist your every need. Bottled water, smiles, and a chorus of "Glad to see you" will be provided. And oh, please stop by our children's ministry table and here are the creative, exciting, and fun walks with Jesus. Join us as we share communion and the feeling of our Lord smiling with his blessings. That's Muhammad Christian Church, 908 North Lake of the Woods Road, Sunday, September 24th, for outside service at 10 a.m. and stay for our MCC family get-together picnic, absolutely free following service.
We are Muhammad Christian Church, 908 North Lake of the Woods Road. Please visit MuhammadChristian.org.
Make plans to pop into Pia's at 1609 West Springfield Avenue for happy hour from 3 to 6, Monday through Friday with 16-ounce drafts, just $3.25, well drinks $4, plus wine and seltzers for $4.50, and pitchers are $9. Taco Tuesdays get you big tacos for $2.50. $2 off on tequila shots and margaritas are $5. Get Mexican beers for $4 each. Go south of the border on Tuesdays at Pia's. Then there's Whiskey Wednesdays and karaoke a few times a month on Fridays with $4 fireball shots. Uh-oh. Football fans, plan to party at Pia's before, after, and during games as you get on the watch parties with great prizes and giveaways during the fourth quarter on special game days. Get 5 bottles in the Coors Light bucket for $16.75 or enjoy the $8.95 pitcher special on Illini game days. For the Bears, $4 Miller Lite drafts in the 22-ounce keeper mugs and Simply Spiked lemonade. Pia's is the place to party any day of the week.
During challenging times, family and health come first. This is Rob Meyer with Provident Financial Group. Many of us have spent the past year feeling a little bit out of control, but there are steps that you can take to plan for a better financial future. Now is the time to take action and create a financial plan that's right for you. Contact us today at 217-366-3456 or online at providentfinancialgroupllc.com.
Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network, member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
Here's the deal. When you combine State Farm Home and Auto Insurance, you save an average of $889. State Farm agent Kurt Lenshaw is ready to help you combine home and auto and save right here in Champaign-Urbana. Call 352-1411 today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Average annual per household savings based on a 2019 national survey by State Farm of new policyholders who reported savings by switching to State Farm.
Illini fans, be sure to wear orange to support your Fighting Illini football team ahead of the Orange Out game against Penn State Saturday, September 16th. Stop in to one of Game Day Spirit's Champaign locations and gear up with the best selection of Fighting Illini merchandise in town. Shop their great selection of orange t-shirts, sweatshirts, hats, and more in store at the corner of Neal and Kirby in Champaign and 6th and Green in Campustown or online 24/7 at GameDaySpirit.com. Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Lonte and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Back on the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lindy on the U of I Lightning Link text line, 20-18 Illinois on a last-second field goal coming up on Saturday against Penn State.
That's the score of the 9 overtime game, wasn't it?
Is that right?
20-18? Or was it 22-20? It was one of those.
I'll have to effort that, but I will trust you to be able to get that for us. I think it was BTN that tweeted that out. A highlight of that game in
20-18.
Wow. Run it back. Although, I don't want to take anything away from Illinois. That was a huge win. Like, going into Happy Valley, the expectations of Penn State, they were unbeaten at the time. And for Illinois to come out with a victory was huge. But that was such an ugly football game.
Oh, it was.
And overtime was offensively pathetic for both sides. Oh. Like, it was disastrous.
Oh, it was. I mean, it was comical to watch that. I mean, you get the 2-point conversion started in the third overtime. I think they each had one through like six.
Yes.
Overtimes. They couldn't punch the ball in from 3 yards on 2-point conversion attempts, and that was when regulation was 10-10. I think. Mm. And no one could move the ball. I know Illinois ran it pretty well, and that's where the barge formation came out for the first time with Chase Brown and Josh McCray. But, yeah, that was an ugly football game. That wasn't Penn State's best team, but it was still a massive win. And I wouldn't mind the same score happening Saturday. I'm with Lindy on that one. I'd love that. I don't know if Illinois is going to hold them to 18, but we can hope.
I know that when we were talking about that 1983 team that won the Big Ten and went to the Rose Bowl, and hearing about them taking the goalposts out of the stadium and walking it down the street or wherever they ended up leaving it or throwing it or whatever. That will happen on Saturday if Illinois pulls off 20-18 or any kind of score against Penn State when you're a 14.5 point underdog and facing a top 10 team in the country. That will be very much warranted if Illinois pulls that off.
It will. I hope the atmosphere is still big time for the game. I'm a little concerned now, and I think there's obviously reasons for that, and you can understand it a little bit. But I feel like if Illinois had been 2-0 coming into this game and had actually looked good the first 2 weeks, like, we're talking maybe a decade-long record in attendance broken for this game, for this 11 a.m. kickoff. And now I hope it's not another, you know, 28,000 sparse crowd there. I think they've done enough in terms of, like, the season ticket base and you know, some of the things they promoted that it's probably still going to be a pretty decent crowd. And it's still game three, so you'd hope that, you know, fans are going to give this team some time, and they're going to need a big-time atmosphere to pull off an upset like this. But I do hope that it's still a really fun environment there at Memorial on Saturday, because this could have been massive. And we're looking at it now, and we're leading off with baseball on the Wednesday before game week, and because it being such underdogs in this game. But I still hope it's a fun environment there, even if Illinois is a big-time underdog.
No, it's been something that's been on my mind throughout the week, and I bought tickets in advance. I bought them before week one. I definitely wanted to have them prior to the Kansas game. In the event, because I was telling my wife, I was telling other people, like, if Illinois starts 2-0, especially in impressive fashion, that place is going to be bonkers, and ticket prices will probably go up and get bought up really quickly. So I wanted – look, regardless, I wanted to go over there and enjoy the game and you know, have a good time and whatnot, take it all in. But I am a little worried about the buzz that's going to be out there in the tailgate lots or within that stadium at 11 a.m. Now, I think that there's plenty – trust me, as someone that grew up around here, that has been to plenty of games, has covered – the basketball team as closely as I covered it. There's a lot of passionate fans who show up and have endured a lot worse seasons or a lot worse football than even what Illinois has shown so far. So I think that there will be at least a decent turnout, but I'm hoping, I was even thinking personally, if I was on the fence and hadn't bought my tickets
right
prior to this week, you know, post Kansas, I might've said, hey, you know, watch it at home, see what else is on, that type of thing. Unfortunately, I think that conversation is going to come into people's heads in the coming days, but I'm with you. I want to see as great of an atmosphere as possible. And it maybe is a situation. I asked Jay on Monday, was the Kool-Aid too strong? I mean, he said it was spiked, but it's almost like Illini fans have to try to get themselves to sip a little bit more of it this week, even though it's not sat well in your stomach, just to, like, because that's usually what fans do. To get that excited about a game, you almost got to convince yourself your team can win the game.
Right.
And that's where Illinois fans are probably struggling right now.
Yeah, and you make a good point, too. There is probably a lot of the week of purchasers. Like, you think about that Iowa game last year where you get 50,000 or close to 50,000 in the stadium. And it was probably a situation where Illinois is, 5-1 at that point. And there's a lot of people that are like, oh, night game at Memorial Stadium this Saturday against Iowa, 5-1 team, a Big Ten West, you know, and there's going to be a lot of people that are interested in that. It's probably not a ton of people that are all jacked up to buy their tickets this week to go see Illinois play Penn State. But I do hope that it's a good atmosphere there, and I think that it can only help you when you're welcoming in a powerhouse like that where you need everything to go perfectly for you. Being back at home, if you can get a lively atmosphere there and have them make some noise on a couple early third downs and Penn State false starts and Illinois gets into a rhythm and is in the game early, you never know what could happen. That's probably your only chance to pull this one off.
Is it? It's a look-ahead spot for Penn State, right? They got wide out against Iowa the following week.
Is that
week.
What's next week? That's a good sign. Right? I always like to hear that when these top teams come in. If they got a big one next week, I think that's where you can catch them sleeping a little bit.
I thought I read that. Let me double check. Yes, at home against Iowa, and it's a whiteout. So that could possibly factor in a little bit. You'd hope that they're, as an Illini, if you're an Illini fan, you're hoping that the Nittany Lions come in here and they watched the film of the Kansas game and a close call against Toledo. They're like, yeah, we can beat these guys half asleep when we show up at 11 a.m. Central Time.
Yeah, no, and we kind of saw that with – now, obviously, that was an Illinois team that belonged on the field with them last year, but we saw that at Michigan last year.
Yeah.
It's the week before Ohio State.
True.
And even Ohio State, when they played Maryland, it's like it's the week before a massive game. That's where you can catch these top teams not playing their best football, not as focused, and looking ahead a little bit. And it is probably Illinois' best chance to catch Penn State here early in the season. Now, I mean, I am interested to see if they can really dial up some pressure and make Drew Aller uncomfortable and get back to what we saw last year, because you need to do that. It's his third game as the starter. He hasn't played good teams here in the first 2 weeks. Make him feel you.